Man, I'm telling you, thanks. He's a brother. They're so good to us. You know how good they are to us? We ask them to take us to a hockey game every time we come. Now, isn't that interesting? Canadians, we have to ask them to take us to a hockey game. But we get to go, and we had a lot of fun. Praise God. Plus, I got a Don Cherry bobblehead doll last night. Don Cherry. Did I say it right?
Yeah. Okay.
That's the guy with the crazy jacket. All right. So I leaned over, and I said, well, I can't take that bobblehead doll to heaven with me. But, praise the Lord. I asked them to give me all the time that they could give me. So if I can ask you as a coach to give me all your attention, we're working this out, right? And so because I really wanted to preach two sermons, and I believe God's going to get them both across. But this is my favorite place to preach in all of Canada, by the way. I love preaching here. I look forward to coming here. I have all these years, ever since it was downtown and then to the other church and now here, and excited about the new building. Praise God, because God's got a plan. That's exciting. My beautiful wife, Candy's here. Stand up, would you please, Candace? Beauty and the Beast. Praise the Lord. Are we good? Just don't walk that way. All right. Well, I'm going to start it out, I believe, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to, I want his plan and the way he wants it done. So he wants me to lay a foundation like this, that everything is going to come down. It's like, Candace, back me on this, and Candy will not lie or exaggerate. Now, us Brims, we have a little trouble with exaggeration, but it's not lying. It's just trying to help you smell the coffee better. But anyway, she will not exaggerate at all. It's like Creflo and Brother Copeland and Jerry and all of us. It's almost like we have the same notes, and we're seeing each other on TV, and it's like, oh, but it is the same Holy Spirit. And it is like, wow. And it's just revelation. God said to me about revelation, or he showed it to me, that it's like, it's revelation has nothing to do with sense knowledge. It's spirit to your spirit, God to your spirit. But it's like if a sheet was over this and you've never seen a pulpit and you pull it off, then it's revealed. But here's the thing he wanted me to know, that even before it was revealed, it was always there. Are you with me? So whatever God's going to do for you has already been done. Whatever God's going to reveal to you has already been done. That's exciting. So when I heard that, I thought, I want more revelation. Amen. And I said, well, can I ask for that? And I asked Mom, well, certainly. This is going to be the year of more. Ta-da! Whoa! Are y'all ready for that? Man, I'm ready for some more. Ta-da! Amen. And it's already been done. Well, one of the ta-das he did for me was he gave me one about, and we're getting ready to I don't want to say launch. I don't want to make it sound marketed like, you know, that. But we're getting ready to go on television with Mom as soon as we get back. And I know that God, it's so new that it's hard to explain. It's you know, in the natural. And I heard this doctor talk about the reason why, we had that shooting in Florida. And they started talking to this one of our top doctors down there. And they said, well, the reason why we got trouble with drugs with young people is because we don't lay the right foundation for them. He said, we should never mention drugs to them when they're 0 to 12 years old. You should never, ever mention to a kid, don't do drugs. Hello, right? You're thinking. He said, what we should have done is tell them how important the brain is and emphasize that brain. And y'all getting this now? Now watch the background they have. And the brain is the center. It's the most important. It's when the speech center of the brain comes and you speak to your body. That's why we wear helmets when we ride a bike and we play hockey or whatever. And you protect that brain and that brain. And so that kid knows that brain, that brain, that brain, that brain. And then when he gets to the right age, he said, you introduce drugs and say, this is the number one enemy to your brain. Now that kid is like, it's easy for him to renew his mind and go, well, duh. You know, no, I'm not going to do that. And when I heard that, it was like instantly inside of me, the Bible says to train up your child in the way they should go. And we have missed this in the church. And now we get older and it's hard for us to grab a hold of things because we haven't taught it God's way in His system. Because it's either humility or pride. Everything comes down to humility or pride. Humility is, here's the true meaning of humility. Humility is submitting your will, because God gave everybody a chooser. He's not going to make you do anything. He will never do that. So you submitting your will to God and His word, no matter what, that's true humility. It's not getting down. It has nothing to do with emotions like that and getting down and suffering. It has nothing to do with that. True godly humility is submitting your will to God and His word. Anything else is pride. So now watch this. Therefore, if you don't cast your cares to God, you're a prideful person. Now I'm telling you, you're on one side or the other. And if you're on the side of pride, you're not going to see things done in your life. You're not going to see the blessings that He has for you. Not because He's holding back. He's a legal God. He won't do things unjust or illegal just because of your behalf. He's legal. Why don't we line up on the legal side? It would behoove us to do that. Amen? And so everything's, what did He say about humility? Come clothed in humility into my presence. What did He say about humility? I will exalt the humble. Woo! I will exalt the humble. I will give grace to the humble, but to the pride I resist. Not the people. He loves the people. It's the pride. That's what got Satan kicked out of heaven. Now, knowing all that, He said, let me use something that will help you train the way you should have trained. And He showed me this principle of I have to versus I get to. Everybody say, I have to. Now say, I get to. He said, I get to is willingness. I get to is humility. I get to is your heart, and it's all spiritual. I have to is flesh. I have to is pride. I have to is grudgingly. Are y'all with me? Let's not even take the Christian. Employee A versus employee B. I have to go to work. He's the last one there and first one to leave. I have to. Not real happy about it. I get to go to work. Here he comes. Different attitude, huh? Who's going to get the promotion? Who's going to get the... Come on now. Who's going to get all the... He is. And the Lord said to me, on I get to, because it's humility, legal-wise, there will always be benefits to it. God said, He doesn't say I love a giver. He says you don't have to give. Listen to me, church people. If you're born again, God will back that covenant. You don't have to give. You get to give. Because getting is humility. Now I'm on the humility side. Sorry, you guys, woohoo. Have two sides over here. Now I'm on the humility side. And they always have benefits. You don't have to give. You'll still go to heaven. People, you don't have to tithe. And we preach it like you have to. That's wrong preaching. We've been teaching our kids, you have to go to church. That's wrong. We've been telling sinners in the world, you have to get saved. No, they don't. Is there benefits to getting saved? Hello? Are y'all with me or not? Is there benefits to giving? Is there benefits to tithing? You don't have to give. See how that's working out for you. You don't have to get saved. See how that works out for you in the end. See the difference? Get to, have to. So we change the way we speak. I get to. I get to obey my parents. I don't have to. I get to. Is there benefits?
Long life.
I get to honor my wife. I don't have to, but I get to. Is there benefits to honoring my wife? What's the Bible say? Your prayers will be answered. You don't have to tithe, but you get to. He'll rebuke the devourer. He'll open the windows of heaven. Shh. And we've been, I have to. He says, I don't love, he said, I never said I love givers and you have to give. He said, I love cheerful givers. The attitude, the willingness. Are y'all with me or not? It's the willingness. Well, this is going to help your willingness. I get to. And you practice it. I get to. Amen? Are y'all ready for this one? This is not even spiritual. You don't have to eat, right? Eat all the, let's see, it's not Krispy Kremes. Tim Hortons. And drink that maple. Just hook that maple syrup right up. Coffee, I know you guys. And just do whatever you want. I don't listen to doctors. You don't have to eat, right? Now, where am I going next? Now, is there benefits to it? How about feeling better? How about living longer? How about less medications? How about, come on now. This is the answer to all diets. This is the answer to all, come on. You don't have to love your neighbor. You absolutely don't have to. But the benefit is love never fails. Oh, come on. And the reason is because it's willingness, and that's God's system. Not grudgingly. I have to go to church. There are people who are praying to God for a new job, and they're grudgingly have to, come on, doing the job they have now. And they're not legally lined up to receive that. Oh, all right. I just dipped my toe into that teaching. But he wants me to go here. All right? God has a plan for you. He's the planner. Mom, when she writes her books, if you ever read them, oh, what a planner, oh, what a plan. You know, you're more successful when you have a plan in anything. God knows that. He gave us a book. It's the plan. And he knows what he's doing. Do you think God knows what he's doing? When you're little, you don't have a plan. Well, I guess you do. Your plan is to play, have fun, sleep, eat, Christmases, birthdays. That's the plan. Then all of a sudden, you get to school, and all of a sudden, these people who are paid to do this go, what's going to be your plan? What do you mean? What do I need a plan? I'm in school. Got mom and dad. I go home, they feed me. And every once in a while, they give me presents. No, you're going to have a plan. You're getting old enough now. You're going to go to college. You're going to get a job. You're going to work here. All of a sudden, things change. You got to have a plan. What's your plan? Well, why? Because you'll be more successful with a plan. And so, as a coach, you know, what coach doesn't have a game plan? You're just going to wing it? Hey, guys, what's the plan? Ah, no plan. Let's go out there and have fun. No, we want to win. Now, that's what's happening, and we're teaching our young people now. Just everybody have fun. Well, you know what's fun? Winning. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to get you to get out of love towards coaches or anything, but I'd never let any of our two kids who played sports play on teams like that, and, you know, all of that. I want you to learn how to win. I believe God made you a winner, created you in his image. He never lost. Has he ever lost? Nope. Even during the dark ages, looked like it didn't lose. It's not over. Jesus, 3 days. No, he came back and won. Yay. Everybody with you, say, is it over?
No.
Is it over?
No.
No. Then we're the undefeated church. Because it's not over. Amen. So I had this team that I have said before, and I know there's some faces here that may have heard this, but it reminded me when God was wanting me to talk about plan and willingness. Now, there's a huge key in this willingness and have to and get to in God's plan for your life. Because he already has, watch this, your plan already written out. And so God, more than you want, wants to do that. Are y'all seeing the picture? Do y'all know what I'm doing? Okay, good. All right. Some people, I don't know. I just need your heads to do something. Give me something. Help me help you. That was a movie. But anyway, we're not going to go there. All right. So I talked about this one high school team. I've coached high school, college, and pro, and I had the most fun coaching high school. I don't know if I would do it now. You know, pros, you deal with egos, contracts, money, blah, blah, blah. But now, I don't know if I would want to coach high school because the parents are crazy. Everybody thinks their kid's Wayne Gretzky or whoever. So anyway, back then it was a lot of fun, and I had this one team that was really short, and so I nicknamed them the Smurfs, all right? A lot of you guys remember some stories I've had on the Smurfs. But I'm going to tell you something about the Smurfs. They weren't very big. We had one that was kind of tall. And then the rest of them were short and uniforms didn't fit. We didn't intimidate anybody getting off the bus, trust me. But they were willing. They weren't just obedient. There's a lot of Christians who are obedient. You're at church, you're obedient. You read your Bibles, you pray, you're obedient. But that willing part, your flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. The real you is willing. And so we were going into this tournament and this game, and I'm driving the bus thinking I left them all, because you know that bus driver has that mirror, and you can look back, and I didn't see any of them. Well, one of them. And then I hit a bump, and then I see their heads pop up. Not really, that was for Hollywood in case it is a movie. But anyway, just stay with me. And just picture The Rock playing me. Now, can we not have, some of you still have not smiled. That's my goal today. All right, so we get in there, and all of the scouts are there, and the cross-checkers are there. The cross-checkers are the guys who bring the briefcases, and they're about to sign somebody or make an offer for millions of dollars, and that means the Major League Baseball draft was just a few days after, and I had forgotten about that. So I pull up, get my Smurfs off, walk up to find out why the scouts and the cross-checkers were there, and it's because there was one guy that's going to pitch that day, and he was going to be the number one pick in all of the drafts. And the minimum he was going to sign for, I'm talking about signing bonus, not salary, $10 million. He was going to sign for a minimum $10 million. But how hard he threw that day was going to determine how many more millions he could sign for. So it could be up to $20 million. 18 years old, never worked a day in his life, getting ready to be an instant millionaire. Well, the guy said, yeah, they're all here, and they're all going to, you know, see if they can trade to get him and offer and blah, 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 to get that number one draft pick. And he's never lost. He was like 6'5", 240 at the time, never lost a game, beard. All of our Smurfs combined didn't have a whisker. You stacked our Smurfs and we're not 6'5". Never lost, number one player in the whole world, high school-wise. Those near 100 miles an hour. And the scout goes, oh, by the way, he's going to pitch against you guys. Good luck. I went, really? But we're short. I just kind of said that. So I walked off, and I've never been raised where I thought I couldn't win a game. I just never have thought that. But he's never lost. Nobody's come close to him. He's later on, he went on later and pitched in two World Series. He's got two World Series rings and many National League All-Star games, this guy I'm talking about, and may be headed to the Hall of Fame. Great career. But up to this point, he had never lost. So the Smurfs are getting ready to play him, and the Smurfs hear about it. So they're all like, you know. So all of a sudden, I'm walking back, and I don't know if it was God or me or whatever, but all of a sudden, a plan came. And that's it. And I knew it. So I peeked around the bus to see if the Smurfs heard yet. And you could tell they, by their body language, they had heard who they're playing against. So I go around there and I went, woo, yeah. Woo-hoo. Oh, is this going to be the best day ever? I'm so excited. This is going to be the greatest day in Smurfville and Smurf history. You'll be telling your grand Smurfs about this day. That made me Papa Smurf, by the way. And they're like, what are you so, don't you know the bad news? Don't you know? And I said, guys, we're going to, I said, you know who we're playing? Yeah, you know, and all this. I said, we're going to win. It's going to be the greatest. How are we going to win? I said, I've got a plan. And when I said I have a plan, everybody say plan. I've got a plan. Their little ears perked up. And it didn't matter how short they were. As long as there was a plan, they were obedient and willing to execute that plan. But the willingness was everything. You can't just be obedient. The Bible says the willing, the obedient and the willing eat the good of the land. I don't know if I got it, willing and the obedient. Eat the good of the land, not just the obedient. And so I said, listen, he's got to have to throw as hard as he's ever thrown. All of the radar guns are there to see how many miles per hour. He's going to try to hit 100. He's going to do everything. And you guys know that when you overthrow, you tend to not follow through, and the ball stays high. I said, the ball stays high. I said, the ball's going to come in high. I kept saying that, and they're looking at me like you're looking at me. I said, the ball's high. It's going to be high. Has anybody caught on yet? Yeah. We're short. I said, and they're all like, yeah, we're short. I said, nobody swing till you get two strikes, but you're not going to get two strikes until their coach comes out, and he's going to get mad. It's going to get embarrassing. Get the ball down. He's going to have to take velocity off the ball and follow through. He's going to take miles per hour going to come off. We'll be able to hit that. I'll give you the green light. Swing away. We're going to win. Woo! They couldn't wait to get out there. Why? They had a plan. Are you with me? But on paper, you can't win. But this is what everybody says. This is what the TV says. This is what, it doesn't matter. We have a plan. God has a plan. I know, but this is what it says. And our generation says, it doesn't matter, God has a plan. There's just an inner Smurf inside of every one of you waiting to come out. Now, so we couldn't wait to get out there. Oh, my goodness. He's on the mound first. We're the first ones up. And my shortstop's the first batter, and he was literally a shortstop. He was the shortest of all the Smurfs. He gets up, looks at me, smiles, because he knows the what? The plan. And then he gets up there and he goes, And he didn't have to. Now the catcher's on the ground. So this big Goliath whiskers, I think, grew even more. Let's just paint the picture a little bit. Big chaw of tobacco. No, I'm just kidding. So he gets up there and he rears back. Pow! I mean, whoo! Nobody's in high school seen it that fast. You don't see 100 miles an hour from 60 feet 6 inches. You just don't. You have to react, and we're not trained for it. And the umpire goes, ball, high! We were so glad he said hi. Because that was all part of the... There we go. Now, and... After he threw that ball one, our whole dugout erupted, woo, like it was a home run. We're chest bumping. We're high five on a ball. And they're all looking at our dugout like, settle down, spazos. And then one of our guys goes, hey, throw it harder. Woo-hoo. He goes, I will. Well, he walks the first one, second one, third one, fourth one, fifth one. We've already got runs in. We're winning. Bases loaded. We've got a. And we're going to execute this thing. And finally, their coach calls timeout and says, get the ball down. And all of our guys go, just like Coach Prim said. And so I gave the green light to that guy. He hits it in the gap, and we beat that guy 15-0. That team went on to become one of the greatest all teams. USA Today did an article on them, one of the winningest programs in the nation. 32 state championships. And it all, if you go down that hallway with all those trophies, there's a picture of the Smurfs after they won that game. It all started there. And it happened, why? Because they had a plan. And they weren't just obedient. That smile came on them. We get to play this game. Are y'all getting it? Most people go in there and they're, we have to play this game. We have to pray. You don't have to pray. See how that works out for you. You get to. We had to tell those guys, you get to play this game. You get this opportunity to be that team on the wall that started the dynasty. You get to be the people in your generation or in your family. You don't have to. You get to. Something comes your way. You don't have to fight. You get to fight. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, with that, think about this. Brother Copeland has been sharing this lately, this testimony about how the Lord came to him years ago and said, I've gone as far as I can go with you in the plan. How would you like to hear that? I'm wondering if that's not the case here with a lot of us. Has God gone as far as he can go with you? Not because, no. Some of y'all are answering real quick, and so did he. He said no. But God said, legally, it's so. I have gone as far as I can go. I have more in the plan, but as far as you're doing right now, that's as far as I can go, legally. Now, he said, why, God? I don't want this. This is years ago. He said, because you have not one day been thankful or grateful for daily television that I put you on. Now, he liked what it did, but he didn't like going through in the process. He was obedient. Are y'all with me? But he wasn't willing. The heart. Everybody say the heart. His spirit. Obedient, willing, humility is about the spirit. I love cheerful get-to-givers. You don't have to go to, we get to go to church. Amen. Man, it's hard to get people to pray. It's hard to get people to go to church. And they get to. It's a mindset change. But you have to start speaking. So Brother Hagin, or Brother Copeland knew what to do. He looks in the mirror and he goes, I love daily television. No, he didn't care his teeth. God's not going, I don't like the tone. No. You got to start somewhere. And you speak it. And you speak it. That's why I get to is on our house. It's on our wrist. It's in our church. It's everywhere. It's on our refrigerators. It's on our t-shirts. Our whole church. Why, church? We get to. Oh, that's what I want to hear right there. You don't have to serve. You don't ever have to work in the nursery and help, but God, you want to know some benefits of serving? He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his, not people. People misquote that. It says servants. I take pleasure. Why? They're serving me with humility, willingness. That's my way. I'm just too busy. That's pride. Well, I don't have to. Well, how about this one, Chip? I get to sin. Whatever a man soweth, he'll reap. Don't make a fool of God. I'm telling you, I'm reading scripture right now. And if you want to reap that, how's that been working out for you? So anyway, praise the Lord. Where were we? Brother Copeland. So he every day, I get to, or no, he said, I love daily television. He come in there, Chip, I love daily television. Yes, sir. Didn't argue with him. Weeks go by. All of a sudden, he said, something was happening on the inside of me, and it was happening. His spirit man was getting more willing. Was more willing. He was always obedient, but there wasn't the will. And then it happened. I think Bill Winston was on when he's doing it. He just, whoo! It just overtook him, the willingness. It didn't fall on him.
Are y'all with me? Some of y'all are waiting for it just to fall on you. Yeah, God, I'm ready to be willing. Hey, Chip, lay hands on me that I'd be willing. No, God gave you a chooser and a will. Submit it. Submit your will and your chooser. Because your flesh is weak. We all know that. It wants to go on that side. I don't want to go to church. We get to go to church. Amen. So, it happened to him, and when it happened to him, guess what happened? All of a sudden, God made a way, finances and everything, that he have his own channel on Dish TV. And not only that, they're signing something in the agreement right now for Direct TV. And before that, he could have never thought in his mind, listen to me, that the plan was that big. There's no way, God. But God had a bigger plan. God was like, I've got more, Kenneth. Are y'all getting this or not? Yay, two people. All right. That's worth it. And God has this for you. But there has to be legally. The willing. The willing. Don't settle for anything else. We get to believe. We get to speak and confess. We get to study the word. Woo! Praise God. I'm telling you, that's his system. Amen? Oh, how many think that God knows what he's doing? Can we get Jeremiah 29:11 message? One of my favorite. This is God. I know what I'm doing. You know, my translation would say, hello, McFly. That'd be the Brim translation. Y'all would be going, McFly, what's that in the Greek? What's it in Hebrew? Are y'all okay? Are y'all getting anything? Come on now, let that inner Smurf come out. He's in there. Not blue, he's not short, he's just an overcomer. All right. I know what I'm doing. I have it all what? Planned out. Already finished. Yeah, but how about letting me in on it? Come on. That's pride. Because you're not submitting your will. You're not submitting your will. What's the will? To God. Thankful. Thankful and grateful in everything. In everything. Not the things the enemy does. What he does. He's the giver of all good gifts. He's the inventor of the G cloud. You men know what I'm talking about. All right. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Pa-pa. Ta-da. God is Mr. Ta-da. He's wanting ta-da more than you. All right, we'll go on. Note to self, don't do ta-da in Canada. Write that down. All right. Click. When you call on me and you come pray to me, guess what? So praying has some benefits. Hello? Oh, you don't want to pray? Go ahead. You'll still go to heaven. But I like that God listens. Amen. Click. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about it, everybody say serious. And that's willing and obedient. And you want it more than anything else, click. I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. That's my decree. I'll turn things around for you. He's talking to Israel right there, but he also has a covenant with the church. And if God does not change, people change. For God is the same. If he turns things around for them, he'll turn things around for us. Amen. Do you believe it or not? Are you sure? All right, then tell your face that. Here we go. Now, we tell our youth. I'm just playing with some of you. Some of you still are there. Don Cherry would love this. Now, I don't know. Anyway, I have been able and blessed to speak in coaches' clinics and different things, motivational-wise, non-churchy, spiritual. And I've been with some guys that make millions of dollars, millions motivational speaking, and they say this to our kids, you can be whatever you want to be. You can do. Listen how good this sounds. Does that sound good? Whatever you want to do. The commercials are coming out right now with Gatorade and some other ones, and they say, You do you. You do what you want to do. You be what you want to be. That's a lie from the devil. Listen to me. God has it all written, already planned out. Everybody's life. So you're going to now plan your own? Or you're going to have a counselor come in and you're going to pay money to a motivational speaker to tell you what you need to be because that's what makes money? And because this occupation, instead of seeking God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And instead of diligently seeking God, and he rewards you. Woohoo! No, God has your destiny already planned out. He's got it already planned out. Now, do you see how that sounded good? But really, my people perish for what? That sounds good. But he said, I've got it all planned out. Hey, cool it. I know what I'm doing. Just seek me. Do my way. What's his way? Willing, thankful, and grateful. Amen? All right, let's go on. Praise the Lord. So the Lord said to me, our job is not to decide the plan. Our job is to discover the plan. That was a really great opportunity for you to put that on your little Facebook. But make sure you put Chip Brown. Now that's pride. Put anything you want. Our job is not to discover the plan or decide the plan. Our job is to discover the plan. He has the plan. Now, Mom interviewed a whole bunch of people writing this book about heaven. And during the process, something came across her that was absolutely stunning. She interviewed all these people who had been to heaven, even the little boy who did the movie Heaven is for Real. Remember that? Yeah. He's a man now. Okay. And most of them said, we all saw this book on a pedestal in the throne room, and it wasn't the book of life. Revelations talks about many books, and there was a book called the Book of Destiny, and every man and woman and child's name is in that book. Every name. And they said everybody's destiny is written down, and that's what the accuser is trying to stop their plans, because it'll affect more people. The blessings, that plan is filled with blessings. That's God's plan for their lives, and that's what the enemy's trying to stop. Your name is written in a blueprint already written out. Oh, I've blown it. I've wasted all these years. That's the first thing the enemy's going to try to tell you. I got one word for you. Recalculating. Some of you thought I was going to say Ricola. Are you okay? I mean, I'm pouring it out here. Okay, now, I've been to places in Oklahoma and even Canada. That drive from Calgary to Edmonton, the GPS, right there. No other lines. Are you working? Numbers are going. I've been in western Kansas in the plains where you could see your dog run away for 3 days. He's still going. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? And then I've been in places like Sydney and New York and Houston and LA, whatever, where the GPS is, it's all one blob of highways. You know what I'm talking about? One time I was in Houston trying to get to my hotel from the airport, and it said exit. Well, there was 9 exits that this exit offered. And so I kept taking the wrong one. And the lady on the little box would say, recalculating. Now, she didn't get all worked up. Every time I missed it, same tone, recalculating, we'll get there, I got all day, that's what I do, right? But meanwhile, finally, 45 minutes, I could see, I would go on the exit and see my hotel.
Finally, I get there, and the box goes, "You have arrived at your destination." And I went, "Ha ha." And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Don't you think that if a little box can get you to your final destination, that God, the creator of all creation, the creator of the blueprint of every plan, can get you back on your to your destiny?" I said, "Oh, God, yes. I trust the box. More, there's people who trust the box more than they trust God. But I've blown it." No, no, no. God can get you right back and even make it better than it was before. Is anybody interested in better than it was before? Now, you're going to have to get out of your little human thinking about, no, it can't be better, because if this person wouldn't have died, or this person wouldn't have happened, or if I wouldn't have made that decision, you got to get out of that. God will make it better than it was before. Quit beating yourself up on that stuff because you're wasting time. God's sitting there with open arms. Let's get back on track. And that's what repenting does. It gets you. You don't have to repent. You still go to heaven. You get to repent. Repenting puts you back on track to God's destiny in your life. Amen. Are y'all getting anything? I'm preaching myself happy. I know I'm preaching to my wife. She needs it. That's pride. That's not right. I gave you a little example of pride. No. Where is this in the scripture? Psalm 139:16. I'm going to try to go faster, okay? "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book," everybody say book. "All," say all. "My members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, even when there was none of them." Everybody was written in this book when there was none of them. So when you're Billy's boy, Billy Brim, you get books for Christmas. You don't get toys, you get books. And now we're like, yay, more books. And there's this one book written by the Ark Scrolls Company that goes backwards. It's Hebrew on this side, English on this side, but it's the Torah. It's the original old Bible. And on the bottom is commentary from the rabbis that when it was written, not this new brim, you know, whatever, McFly. No, when it was written. And so I had Psalms, which is called Tehillim, and I went to 139, and I've read this in here before. I'm going to read it again. And this is what they said about that book. They said, "This book is the book that everybody's written in that he showed Adam in Genesis 5:1, before Adam was even formed." And I'm reading this stuff. This is the account of all the descendants. This is what the rabbis wrote. While Adam was still in unshaped form, God showed him all the generations of his descendants. Every generation and its leaders, every generation and its scholars, its preachers. In addition, God revealed to Adam the number of their years, the number of their days, and their hours. He even counted out before Adam, listen, the number of steps every man is destined to take. Your little mind is going to try to figure that out. You can't. But he showed Adam you. Now, why are some of them not fulfilling? Why did my dad die at 49? Or why did he pass at 49? That couldn't have been God's plan. But God's legal. Are y'all with me? That wasn't God's plan. It's the enemy who steals, kills. But God has a plan. God has a plan. We stay willing and obedient. Amen. He'll never fail to move on that plan. Amen. He said that, they said this, "The Almighty, the architect of creation, wrote this book. It's the blueprint that records all the divine master plan for all mankind. For God is omniscient, he knows all and foresees all. But man himself has no inkling of his own future, and that remains a wonder and a mystery to man." That's us. What are we going to do? What's our plan? God has it planned out. He foresees it, knows the future better than you know the past. But here we are. "Oh God, I don't see how this is going to happen. I know..." See the two differences? "Even what's more wondrous," they said, "is the divine paradox. Everything is foreseen by God, but yet man has the freedom of choice, will. But it is man, the sinner, who brings darkness and gloom into his life. That's his choice. But he's been endowed with the power of repentance, which he can rekindle and get back on track." In other words, recalculate. Amen? So we don't have to repent. What? We get to repent. We don't have to listen to me right now. You? You don't have to love me. You? All right, here we go. Now, here's what's even better news. How? That's great news. God has my plan. And he can, but I've wasted. No. He can get me right back and even better than it was before. Now, here's what's even more exciting news. Mom heard me preach this or saw it on TV. She goes, Chip, you've got to go to this verse. It is God's part of the covenant to make that plan come forth. I go, what do you mean? I said, it's his job. It's his responsibility legal-wise of the covenant to make your... So some of you may be going, well, he ain't doing his part of the covenant. Well, question is, are you doing your part of the covenant? Because with God, it's like chess. You move, he moves. He gave you a will, therefore you move. He will never impose on anybody's will. That's why he made man, and he says, choose life, choose blessings. You're where you're at because of choices. You get to choose. See, don't look at it that way. I have to choose. You get to choose. Amen. Man, you guys need to start doing this. I get to. I preached this on television. Mom called me and she said, Chip, this is one of the most profound, most wonderful, easy revelations I've ever heard. She said, this will go all around the world. This will be in airports. She started prophesying. This will be on books, on TV. This will be people's way of living long, healthier lives in the world. And this was God's whole plan the whole time. Our willingness to get to instead of have to. She said, but you're going to have to pronounce the word correctly. I said, what do you mean? You're saying get to. It's get to. Go now, get. All right. That's just my Oklahoma. All right. Praise God. So where is it God's covenant and his part and responsibility? Psalm 25:14, you won't get it. I'm practicing gut. Gut. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. All right, you can read that in other translations. But Mom says, let me read it to you out of the Hebrew Bible, the Torah. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and his covenant is to make them know. And I wrote down here, know what? What does he want us to know? Mom says, well, if you back up to verse 4, 8, 10, 12, and 14, previously, what he was talking about, it was talking about the word derech or way, the Hebrew word derech. He was talking to them about their destiny. And it is my part of the covenant to make you know your destiny, to help you. Pressure's off. All we got to do is our part. What's our part, God? Obedient and willing. Obedient and willing. You don't have to praise God. We had an opportunity right there during praise and worship. Boy, you ought to see our church now. And we just on this preaching and revelation, man, when we start praising God, that's an offering. And I mean those altars are filled. We give two offerings in our church. We're not trying to compare anything else. That's just an opportunity. Brother Hagin says, you open your altars up in praise and worship, you'll have less counseling. Because that's a willingness. That's a step of faith. Amen. It's a march out there. You get to. Remember when he told Moses, he said, tell the people, take up an offering. Why? Because you're going to make the first tabernacle for me to live in. But he said this, make sure they know that they bring it with a willing heart. Y'all need to go back and read this. And when they brought it, he says, now you better make sure that they're bringing it willing, because he said this, watch, I will not abide where there's no willingness. I will not abide where there's no willingness. Wow. Praise God. When you pray, you enter into his presence. But when you praise, He enters into your presence. Where's the scripture? He inhabits. Paul and Silas, did God show up? Yeah. They could have said, God, why do we have to do this? We were just doing what you told us to do. Instead, they started praising and worship God. Well, legally, they just allowed God to do his part of the covenant. And his plan was to break those chains, tear those walls down, get that guard saved, and some of us believe that that guard later became a pastor of a church that was influential. So anyway, what church was it? You remember? Philippi? But that's what we believe. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But you don't have to praise. Some of us, we don't do that. Why? Because that's our personality. Wow, that's, whoo. I used to say that, by the way. How'd that work out for me? But think about it. An offering of praise. Willing. God, I'm willing to praise. Amen. Now, so it's his part of the covenant. And God says, I'll always do my part. You do your part. Willing, speak and praise me. He said, you were born to praise. I heard that. You were born to praise me. Anybody can praise during the wonderful times, but who can praise and trust him at those times when the enemy is as far as they can see? Man, he showed me a couple things right here. Glory to God. And I said, God, show me this. So he took me to Jeremiah 33:11. Just give me a couple scriptures, and guys, and I'm done. Is that all right? Three maybe? A few? Okay, Jeremiah, the voice of joy. Now watch what God said. The voice of joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Has. Say it.
Joy.
All right, let's try it again.
Joy.
Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Has.
Has.
A.
A.
Voice.
Voice.
The voice of joy. This is God speaking, by the way. Has God changed? The voice of gladness. What's the opposite of sadness or gladness?
Sadness.
You all got that one. All right. I'm going to tell you something, and I've been there. There's some sad Christians that don't have no joy because they feel like there's no hope. And they don't even can't even think of a plan. But the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them. Everybody say them.
Yeah.
No, everybody say them.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to have to be a smurf right here because this is what I do with them. Everybody say them.
Yeah.
God is particularly talking about them. Now, he's talking legal right now. This is for them. Who's them? We're going to find out. For them, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts. Here it comes. You were born to do this. Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good and his mercy endureth
forever.
How long?
Forever.
I was in Australia and I said, say forever. And they all went, forever.
Forever.
I said, say it like me. They go, forever. For his. Now God's still speaking. Watch. End of. Now, do you see that he's particularly saying them? And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of what?
Praise.
These are the praisers I'm talking about. These aren't the complainers, the have-tos. These aren't the have-toers. These are the willing that can go out and rejoice in front of their enemy and praise God in front of their enemy. And for them that bring the sacrifice of praise in the house of the Lord, for I, oh, now, Psalm 25, now I'm going to do my part because them let me. Why am I getting louder? Because some of them are trying to sleep. Stay with me. If you woke up, you woke up at a good time. Stay with me. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. But it was for who? Them. Who's them? What was the qualifications? Those who praised the Lord and said, He is good and his mercy endureth forever. Right? And so I looked up different translations. New American Standard said this: I will restore their fortunes and their lands as it was in the beginning and make it better than it was. I couldn't believe I was reading this. What? So I look up fortunes. Possessions and goods, I will bring back everything that was stolen, that was a part of the original plan. I got it. I've already got it taken care of. Been protecting it for you too. And as long, he said, as you have a voice, you have a choice. They still had a voice. They still had a choice. Are y'all with me or not? How many want him to make it even better than it was before? But you got a part to play, right? You've got a part to play. Let's look at some of the people that were involved. Jonah. You guys know this. You've heard me talk about it. Jonah's getting ready to exit this whale one way or the other. And we know that he was in this whale 3 days. So we know he's not in the same place he was the first day, because it says the Bible, he was wrapped up in seaweed. He's traveling down this whale. Do I have to get more specific? Okay, he's being digested. This is the other way, by the way, right here. All right, it's getting smellier and smellier. I don't think that was God's plan that he wrote in the book. Jonah will fertilize the ocean. Think of his son at the funeral. How'd your dad die? Well, so nobody thinks about this, right? But what got Jonah out of there? Well, it was 3 days. That's God's timeout period. Do you think Jonah had something to do with getting out of that? He ran from the plan. He didn't want the plan. That may be some people in here right now. I did for years. And ran, and look what that got him into. Well, when you're running from the plan, that's pride. That's all self. God has this wonderful plan that you're hearing about. What a wonderful day this is. And finally he goes, God, I vow thee and I repent. And he said, and I give you the thanksgiving, the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise. And he began to praise him at the worst possible time ever. And that gave God enough to do his part of the covenant. Paul and Silas, we already talked about, right? Now, glory to God. Let's look at another one. David at Ziklag. 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 4. I only got two more and we're done. Are y'all glad you came?
Yes.
All right, this is really good, because this is about, ta-da, your plan. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites, everybody say the Amalekites. Now here's what you got to know about the Amalekites. Every scholar, now I've been taught this by scholars now, okay? Every scholar knows that the Amalekites have a reputation. They were opportunist. They always attacked when the men were out to war. All right? They never faced that way. That's just what they did. And they always, somebody say always. They always would steal everything, and then they would rape the women, and then they would murder them, and then they would murder all the children. Then they would burn the city. There is never an account in the biblical days up until they knew, I don't know when, that the Amalekites did not do that. But here. Why here? You're going to find out. So the Amalekites, now you already know, uh-oh, everybody say uh-oh. Because you're thinking what? You just heard. That's what they do. They invaded the south, the Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with what? Well, they do that, right? Right? Click, cricket, click. All right, let's go. And they had taken the women what? Now the writer is going to try to get this across to you. Now, if it was us writing it, we would be going, and they took them captive, can you believe it? That's how we would write it today. They don't do that, but you can really kind of see it. And they had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any. Now he reports again. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away, and they went on their way. Why? Click. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. So can you imagine what David and his men were thinking? Their wives have been raped and murdered. Their children have all been murdered. For whatever reason, they didn't do it here, but we knew it was the Amalekites. So can it get any worse for David? No. If you knew the end result, which we do, was it as bad as David thought it was? No. And I'm here to tell you right now, it's not as bad as you think it is. Amen. Because God is in covenant, and as long as you have a voice, you still have a choice. Amen. So let's go to verse 4. Let's go to verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their what?
Voice.
Lifted up their what?
Voice.
What are we supposed to use our voice for? God said it earlier. And to them that use their voice for gladness and praise, remember? And joy. But David lifted up their voice and they what? Until they had no more power to weep. And that whole time he wept until there was no more tears, God never moved. Well, that's not a very loving God. God is a legal God. He's not moved by need. He's moved by faith. Praise is the highest type of faith. It's the highest. Woo! Verse 6. David was greatly distressed for the people. Now they're going to kill him. Gets worse. The soul of the people were grieved, and every man for his son and daughter. But then David did what? Oh, good move, David. And we know that he remembered the goodness of God. I remember the lion, the bear. I remember Lord going from a shepherd to the king. I remember all the great things you've done. I remember in the Bible where Paul tells Timothy, remember your grandmother and your mom? Remember their faith? I remember Jesus at communion saying, hey, do this often in
remembrance.
Y'all getting this? The Holy Spirit brings all things to your. What if there's nothing there to bring to remembrance? We get to read the Bible to put in there so the Holy Spirit can bring to our remembrance. Amen. So he encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, we know the story, right? Let's go on to verse. Let's see what the results are. Good decision, David. 18, 19, and 20. David recovered how much? That the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Now, oh, let's go on one more. Click. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great. Look, my earring. The sons, that's how good God is. Sons or daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And here is what the art scrolls and the commentary was on that. It was the Amalekites could not touch them for some divine reason. God was protecting them. As long as David had a voice, he was in covenant with God. He still had the stuff. He still had the plan. He just needed David. Get out of that prideful state. What do you mean prideful? Poor me. That's pride. Poor me, and I haven't got enough. That's pride. God doesn't legally. He moves with humility. Come clothed. I'll exalt you. I'll honor you. I got grace for you. Amen. Sorry to spit on you there. I have spit for you. You okay? You need a towel? I'll stay back. Are y'all getting this or not? That was a prideful move on David. Because that was self, not spirit. That was flesh. Poor me. Nobody said it's easy, but cast your cares to God because he has the plan. And then you praise him. You want to know why you praise him? You get to. You don't have to. It moves God. Amen. And he recovered all. Click. David took all the flocks, the herds, cattle, said, this is David's spoil. And they had so much they couldn't even give it away. Last thing I'm going to talk about. Candy, if you got anything, make sure you bring it. 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 4. Now, there's going to be some names here that I know that you've got some scholars out here. Just forgive me if I don't pronounce them right. Did I say Jehoshaphat? 2 Chronicles 20, sorry. After this, the armies of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Mennonites, not really, Mennonites, declared war on Jehoshaphat. So, now, listen, everybody, please, leave with this one right here. This is it. So he's been declared war on, all right? Click. Jehoshaphat was what? And he begged. He begged God for deliverance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. I don't know what to do. I got to try to figure this out. Click. So the people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. All right? Now, let's go to verse 13. Skip down just to speed it up. New Living Translation, by the way. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, they're surrounded by the enemy. Click. The Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there, and it was Zechariah's son. And we don't care. I'm not really interested in all the descendants. All right, click. He said, listen. Now, this is God speaking through this word. All you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Number one. Now, I listed these things. Here is what. Now, do not what? How many times did God say in the Bible, fear not? Almost every time he came down. Now, the very first thing is, David, fear not. Abraham, fear not. Moses, you're in a pretty good group here, so don't feel bad. Jesus to Jairus, fear not, right? Fear not, or don't have fear. Don't be discouraged. Don't let discouragement get in there, all right? Because I want to help you, in other words. I'm on your team. I'm in covenant. And by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours. Now, how many times we sing that, the battle is yours, the victory is ours. And we're singing that, and I sure wish he'd fight some of these battles. Come on now, I mean, I'm just trying to get real. The battle is yours. Oh, God, I'm so glad the battle's yours. Oh. Arrow. All right, well, God is a just, legal God. Watch this. Tomorrow, I love these two next two words. What? Just say the next two words. But listen, he already told him I'm going to fight it. Well, God, well, we're real comfortable in these caves. Can't we just sit here and eat our falafels and not have to see the end? We really don't want to have to see the enemy, because you ought to study about this enemy. It was further than their eyes could see. And you're going to even hear a little bit about it. No, march out. Please get this. You know what it was? I'm going to fight your battle. But I want you to take a step up. Oh, but we're comfortable right here. I'm really comfortable right here. Step of faith. Man, there's something about a step of faith. No, God will meet me. He's legal. There's something about a step of faith. There's something about that move when they brought the offerings up. I did a revival just how many weeks ago? Methodist Church, middle of nowhere. Over 400 a night, they packed it out. Methodists coming to hear the faith. And they didn't know about giving or nothing. And there was one family there that were from Mexico. And their little church where they drove to this, they taught their kids that whenever we give our offerings and our tithes, they give the money to the kids, and the little kids go up. And they put it in the bucket. Little kids. Well, this little family's there. Nobody knows about this. And so he was, for the first time of four nights, inspired to take an offering. They didn't know what to do. All of a sudden, this little Spanish, little Mexican kid comes out. He's walking around. There ain't no buckets. I mean, he's just barreling out. He has to crawl up the stairs. He's got all this money in his hand. And he's looking at everybody. And it got so quiet. They don't, what is he doing? And the kid just wants to give. He's trained. Train up your child in the way. That kid will never have a problem giving to God. Amen? All right. March out. Get yourself up and march out there. I don't really feel like it. Against them. Well, wait a minute. It's your fight. I said march out against them. You'll find them coming up through the... So he tells them, and this, what he explains next, the end to the end of the valley, was so vast that you can't see the end of it, right? All right, so let's go to, what verse is that? 16? Let's go one more. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, stand still, and watch the Lord's victory, for he is with you. Amen. Do not be afraid or discouraged, but go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. All right? So let's go to verse 20 through 25, and we'll end this thing. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me. So he's got to re... Oh, my goodness, they just saw him. Are you with me? Oh, my goodness, all of a sudden, ha-ha! So he's having to, hey. So he's got to remind him. He's got to remind him about that word, right? On the way, Jehoshaphat said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, you'll be able to stand firm. Believe. Remember the prophet, what he said? Remember what he said? Don't run, stand. Don't run. Come on, keep marching. Come on, keep marching. Come on, get in your positions. Come on, get in your positions. Are y'all getting this or not? What I loved about this is God commanded them to make a move. So many of us, our lives have been just waiting to God, you make your move. Click. And after consulting the people, the king appointed the singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord the very same thing that David and them saw in Jeremiah. Praising him for his holy splendor, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. The same thing. All right. Click. And at the very moment, they begin to what? Sing and what? When? At the very moment. Somebody say the very moment. And the very moment, they begin to sing and praise God for his goodness and his mercy is forever. Not staying back in their little comfort zone and their little box of comfort, but stepped out and marched out there anyway and did what God said to do. At that very moment, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. Now, it goes on. Yeah, let's go on to 25. And these armies turned against themselves until they destroyed each other. Click. So when the army of Judah came to the lookout point of wilderness, they saw that there were dead bodies laying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of them of the enemy had escaped. Click. And King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder or the spoil. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much spoil or plunder, it took them 3 days to just collect it all. Now, when David and Jehoshaphat first got their news, they thought it's over. It's over for my wife. It's over for my life. It's over for my men's life and their families, David. But was it as bad as David thought? Because God was still in covenant. But David made a move. When Jehoshaphat heard, you're surrounded. As far as your eye can see to the sea, it's over. I don't know what the enemy's trying to tell you. I don't know what attacks have come against you. But it's not over. And God is on your side. Some of you, whatever it is, I encourage you to march. I encourage you to step out and take a step of. And you know what to do? Praise him. Sing to him. Thank him.
Why? You get to.
Is there benefits to that? He will fight your battles. Some of you have been trying to fight your own battles and it's wearing you slick. It's wearing you slick. Almost to the point where you're bitter at God. But God's legal. So I just want to invite you to stand up. Praise God. Does this thing roll? Let's just do it now. You know what? My goodness. When will I see you again? When will I see you again? When did that come up? I don't know. That's, get behind me. Say, all right. But here's an opportunity. Lord, the enemy has surrounded some of them. Some of them, they don't even have any hope. They feel like there's no hope. There's hope. And the name of hope is Jesus. Praise God. So if you want to make that move, whether it be for your plan or healing, miracle, finance, just the plan of God. Let's just be an army that's been based here in Kelowna, Canada, and let's go out and march out. So you have an opportunity right now. These altars are open. Oh, you have the opportunity to be the first one up if you want to. Or you don't have to come. I don't care. That's just between you and God. But praise the Lord. Lord, I want you to see their faith. Look at them. Get your hands up. Let's just praise him. We don't have anything but the only agenda we have is to tell him how good he is. And that we trust him and love him and praise him. We praise you and glorify you, for you are good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Thank you, Father. Can we play that one? God is so good. The goodness, something about his goodness and praise and whatever. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Just sing to him. Yeah, just sing to him. It's who you are. He's moving for you right now at that very moment. He moved for them that very moment.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
Perfect in all of your ways.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
To us.
You're a good Father. It's who you are.
It's who you are. Who you are, and I'm loved by you.
It's who I am.
It's who I am.
It's who I am.
You're a good Father.
It's who you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are,
and I'm loved by you.
It's who I am.
I am. It's who I am.
You know, I think back personally at the most pressured time in my life, the Lord tells me to rejoice. And I told him, I don't feel like it. And he said, rejoice, because you now know you're at the goal line. You're right at the brink of victory. And that's when the pressure is the toughest. Anybody can lay down, he said, but who are those who can get out of their seat, never done it before, and walk up to the front and raise their hand and lift their voices to me and praise me? Those people. I want to let you know that you're part of the them group, and you have legally allowed him to, at that very moment, he's moving on your behalf. Doesn't matter what your mind says. It doesn't matter what your flesh feels. God is moving in your battle. Aren't you glad? Oh, some of you still have an opportunity to put the falafel down and step out of your cave and get out here and see what God's about to do. Amen. It's an opportunity. You don't have to. Here we go again. You don't have to come up here. You get to. Woo! You get to. Oh, redamasete. Lelishiaramakasondelebehiarabaha. Praise you, God. The battle is yours. The battle is yours. We encourage ourselves in you. Everybody say this. For the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good. And his mercy endureth forever. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Candy, you have anything? Candace, you got anything, baby? Praise God. Lord, let's just keep praising him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. We love you. We're honored to honor and love you. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
You know, in that word that Chip just spoke, where Jehoshaphat, where he was talking, he says in verse 17, but you will not even need to fight. You will not even need to fight. Because you've chosen to position yourself under the almighty hand of God.
That's right.
When you step out and say, Father, I love you and I praise you and I worship you, you position yourself under the hand of God. And he says, and you won't even need to fight. He says, take your position. How do you take that position? With the voice of praise, you take that position. You praise God. You thank God. Not for anything with you, but for everything that he is and what he can do in your life. And he says, take that position.
Yeah.
The only position you ever have to take is the position of praise,
the position of faith,
the position of hope. And who? Almighty God. That's who we position ourselves in.
That's right.
Not in our situation, not in the person next to you, not in your husband or your wife, but position yourself in Almighty God. And then he says, take your position.
Yes.
Then stand still.
Don't move.
Don't move. Stay in that position.
Don't move out of that.
Stay in that position under the hand of God. Stay in that position of praise. Stay in that place where your trust is fully in God, no matter what's going on in your life. The trust is in him. And Ephesians says, when you've done all to stand,
stand.
And he says, stand still and watch the victory of the Lord. Watch the victory of the Lord. As you stand in that position, you praise God, you put your trust in him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Sometimes I'm telling you, I've been at the bottom of the rung on my knees in tears, and all I had left was to praise God. And I stood up. I stood up and I took that position. I said, thank you, Father. It may not look like I want it right now, but I trust you. And I stand in that position and I praise you. And I worship you, Father. And I've seen him move time and time again. because I was in the position of praise.
Yeah,
and pray. Now I'm a loud praiser, but you don't have to be.
No.
You have a relationship, your own relationship with God. You may wanted to come up here as a step of faith, but you may be back there in that seat and you just stepped over and raised your hands. Or you may have just did this with your finger. Whatever your relationship with God, make that step and position yourself in praise. And you will, what does it say? Watch the Lord's victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In wrapping this up, what I just heard there from the Lord is the position is praise.
Yes.
And don't move. Stand in that position. I know, but there'll be things you hear and see. No. Stand in that position. I remember in football and in baseball and teaching and being coached. Now listen, when that enemy comes, you got to stand. Now, certain things would happen. Some would run. Some would back up a little bit. Oh, that's a bad thing to do because the momentum. But if you stand, and that's what God is saying, keep your position. And the position is what? Praise. Make a step of faith. If it's a finger, if it's a hand, but make a step. Make a step. Make a step. There was a Renee Craig in our church. She always sits on the front row. She never went up front. She goes, hey, I'm in the front row. I'm closer than everybody else. And she goes, I made two steps, and it just, she said, I've never felt anything just because I took the step. The step of faith. I just took a step or two. Man. So anyway, lift up your hands. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Lord, we heard we are to march out and take our position. We're going to march out of here. Into our cars, into our homes, into our jobs, into our lives, and we're going to take our position. And our position is to praise you. It's not to question you. It's not to doubt you. It's to be willing and obedient to praise. And we thank you for the words that have been spoken. I plead the blood over them. They will not go void. Lord, and we know, and I know with all my heart, that at this very moment you are moving and fighting their battles in Jesus' name. And are you in agreement with that?
Yes.
Say amen. Pastor, come on up. Praise the Lord.